had some fellowship around the music. We've had fellowship in worship. We've had fellowship in prayer, fellowship around the Lord's table. Now we're going to have fellowship around the Word. Amen. Thanks to Hillary for the years of service and leadership. She's completed her term and she wants a rest, I think. Don't you reckon? Only five people said yes. All right. Thanks. But she'll continue on as a prayer leader for our church. God bless. Just before, while you get your sheets, I've got an announcement for David. He did ask me this last week if I'm going to continue on in the book of Revelation, because he has some, and some of you leaders have an insight into the preaching that's coming. And I said, yes, I will be continuing on next year. That's if people want me to. But I've got a special announcement for David. I'm not finishing with chapter 5 today, David. You got one more Sunday. There was too much for this morning, and I thought I'll make it into two parts. You happy about that? We'll do the first 6 verses today, and we'll do verses 7 to 14 next week. But it'll be the same theme. Celebrate the Lamb of God. Celebrate Him on the throne. Just before we start, I read this story some years ago, and I suddenly came across it, and I thought I must share it with the church. A gorilla walked into a milk bar one day and ordered a chocolate sundae for $1.50. He placed a $10 note on the counter to pay for it and waited for his chocolate sundae. The owner thought to himself, what does a gorilla know about money? So he gave him back a dollar coin. As he did this, the owner said, you know, we don't get too many gorillas coming around here for chocolate sundaes. Around milk bar owner and said, no wonder. The gorilla replied, if you discriminate by charging gorillas $9 for a chocolate sundae instead of $1.50. And I keep telling people every Sunday when I meet them, I didn't do it today, we charge the same price for all the seats in the front here. It's not $1.50, it's the same price. Something that we need to remember when we come around the Word of God, it doesn't matter whether it's the book of Revelation or the book of Daniel or some of those, or Numbers or Ecclesiastes. Some people find each of these books a little challenging. That's because we haven't taken the time to read through it. And as we look at chapter 4, we looked at chapter 4 last week. That chapter can still be entitled not just the Lord in the throne room, but God is still on the throne. And we need to remember that. You remember that song? Maybe worship team, Phil, you need to revive that again. God is still on the throne, and He remembers His very own. But chapter 5 can also be entitled, Worthy is the Lamb. You know that song? I pray that we'll sing that again one day. And when we sing it, we'll realize that we're not left alone on this earth. God is still on the throne. You know, when we find it difficult is when we are going through difficulties. We tend to forget. And some people say, where are you, God? If the Lord is with us, we don't need to ask that question. We know where He is. Now, this chapter, we'll start with verses 1 to 4. There's a scroll in the right hand of the one who is sitting on the throne. Let's read what John is writing for us here in verse 1. He says, then I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne. There was writing on the inside and on the outside of the scroll. And it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals on the scroll and open it?" Some years ago, I was preaching this in a church, and very hard to get those people to speak. You know, I like people to talk back. This is a talk back message. You're free to talk back. And when I came to this part and I said, a strong angel shouted with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals?" It was a shout. It was a loud shout. Verse 3 says, "But no one in heaven, no one on earth, no one under the earth was able to open that scroll." What a devastating state of affairs. And sometimes going through the life today in the 21st century could feel like that. Who is going to deliver us? Who is going to help us? Who is going to change the situation we find ourselves in? God is still on the throne. And verse says, and this verse carries on and says, "Who is able to open this scroll and to read it?" John must have been devastated too as he was watching this vision, this panorama of God revealing these things to him. And in verse 4 he says, "Then I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and to read it." The scroll in the right hand of the one who sat on the throne. Who's sitting on the throne? The Father and Jesus. Yes, you're both right. That's right. Father was on the throne, and Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. This scroll is closed. This scroll is sealed. Now, when you seal something in those days, you had a seal. They don't do it anymore. But this one's got seven seals. Seven seals. That means it is really closed. You can't open it. No one can open that seal. This is the scroll of the closing days of time and can only be opened at the end of those days. You've heard me say this since we started the book of Revelation, at least. We are living in the last days. Whether we like it or not, the signs are pointing to it everywhere. Everywhere, every day, there's new developments. Keep on reading what Jesus said in Matthew 24, 25, and 26. You'll begin to see what I'm saying. If you don't read the scriptures, yeah, you won't understand it. You'll wonder why all this is happening. But every time I read it, I say, "Thank you, Lord. Is it going to be today? Or is it going to be tomorrow?" That's the way we should be living. Looking, waiting for His soon return. This scroll is the scroll of the closing days of time. God is in complete control of the future. He is. I said this to someone yesterday, as we drive up, coming here to Wonthaggi or Inverloch, and we go along the coastline and look at all the great expanse of water there. I think people are scared of the dams drying up and the rivers drying up, and now we're saying, "Stop the rain, Lord." And He's trying to tell us, "I'm in control. I have looked after generation." And who created this? That's right. If we don't believe that God created all these things that we see, that's when we worry. But if we know He is in control, He chooses it. I expected to see it bucketing down this morning. And when I got up and shine, I said, "Thank you, Father. You can make it bucket down this afternoon." It's His choice. He's in control. God is completely in control of the future. The final record of God's salvation history is in his hand. That scroll must remind us that it'll only be opened when he determines it. And he'll determine it. This is the scroll of the final days of his salvation history. And as long as he keeps that scroll controlled and sealed, there's hope for those on this earth who still don't know him. Yes. The longer the Lord waits, some people must be praying, come, Lord, it's quickly, come quickly. The Lord says, I'm giving them a long chance. I want to give them. I'm not wanting anyone to perish, but that everyone will come to redemption, will come to know me. This scroll is written on the inside and the outside. I don't know how many of you have a little notebook or a piece of paper on your side of the table or wherever you scribble your notes every day. If you want to go shopping, your shopping list or whatever you do, or your journal. And sometimes when the book is full, where do you start writing? Sorry? Yeah, you write out of the back of it. You write on the covers. You keep on writing. And this scroll is full. This scroll is written on the inside and the outside. The scroll in his hand has the writings of eternity in his hand. He holds the whole world in his hand. What are we worrying about? Why are we worrying? Read the book of Revelation. You get excited. I'm thrilled. And it's sealed. And I thank God that no one can change history without the permission of the creator of history. Amen? Yep. Don't be afraid. So the first thing we need to notice from these four verses is that this scroll is the scroll of the closing days of time. The closing days of history. The second thing to notice here in these four verses is that the public declaration by the strong angel. I was asked the question the other day, why is God sending so many people to hell if he's a God of love? And I said, that's the wrong thing. You don't know what the Bible says. The Bible never clearly tells us that he never made hell for people. He made hell for the devil and the third of the angels that went with him. If you knew the scriptures, you won't ask that question. So he's prepared hell for them. And all those who are following him and a third of angels are following him into hell. God has no choice. He doesn't want anyone to perish. That's what Jesus died for. He didn't die for only those who are going to heaven. He died for the whole world. I told the podiatrist who's only the other day about Jesus. Yeah, he told me he's from Iran. I said, oh, wonderful, Jesus died for you too. Yes, he did. He did. I said, Jesus loves you too. We're thinking of giving him a Bible for Christmas. How about that? Yeah. Yeah, I think we need to. If you're excited about the Word of God, share it around. People need to know. The reason why we're in this mess is because the Word of God is not out there with everybody. We tend to hold it and say, that's private. No, it's not private. It's the Word that is there for the whole world to know. We need to share it. Verse 2 says, and I saw a strong angel who shouted out a loud voice, who is worthy? Even John was upset and worried. He wept bitterly. Lord, there's no one available to open this book. Who is there? I was surprised to read that when I was studying it too. And I thought to myself, John, you should have stepped up and said, come on, I'll open it. No, he couldn't. He was not worthy too. Didn't feel that. This is the first of three visions of three strong angels who shout. This is the first one here that we read about. This is the first of three strong angels in the book of Revelation, in this revelation that John's having. The second strong angel with the second scroll appears in Revelation chapter 10 and verse 1. This is what John's writing in chapter 10 says. Then I saw another mighty angel, coming down from heaven, surrounded by a cloud with a rainbow over his head. His face shone like the sun, and his feet were like pillars of fire. And in his hand was a small scroll that had not been opened. It's a second scroll, not been opened. And then there's a third scroll, the third and final strong angel in Revelation 18, verses 1 to 3, as the prophet of doom for Babylon. That's what the angel is referred to. What it says, Revelation 18, 1 to 3. After all this I saw, John is having this continuous revelation. And after all these revelations that the Lord is giving him, he says, I saw another angel, the third one, come down from heaven with great authority, and the earth grew bright with his splendor. He gave a mighty shout. Here's another one shouting. And this is the shout. Babylon is fallen. That great city is fallen. She has become a home for demons. She is a hideout for every foul spirit, a hideout for every foul vulture, and every foul and dreadful animal. For all the nations have fallen because of the wine of her passionate immorality. The kings of the world have committed adultery with her because of her desires for extravagant luxury. The merchants of the world have grown rich. When we come to chapter 18, I'll deal with that in more detail. Because I was asked a question this last week. Why do you skip over some of these important things? Because I said, I don't have 12 months to preach on Revelation. So it's important. I'm actually stirring you up by preaching on this so that you can then look into the scriptures. But looking at this, this is a final strong angel shouting out voice that this is the fall of the mighty Babylon, the evil city. By the way, let me ask you a question. Is evil on the increase? Yes, no, maybe. Yes, I think all of us will say evil is on the increase every day. Talk to the police officers, talk to the police force. They'll tell you. You don't need to talk to them. You just look around. You can see it happening. And the reason why this is happening, because Babylon is referred to evil, there's a constant increase in evil today. Because we are coming to the end. Satan knows his time is short. He doesn't know when it is. But he knows. He knows the signs that are happening. He knows what Jesus said when he was here. When you see these things happening, look up. That's what Jesus said. And Satan says, I'm looking out now because my time is up. I need to try to get as many as I can to do evil, to follow me. Because not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said so. Only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. Matthew chapter 7. This public declaration, the angel shouted, and the initial response in chapter 3, verse 3 says, no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. No one. But there was only one good response. Here's the final one in verse 4. If you were there with John, what would you have done? Think about it. If you were standing with John and watching this revelation that the Lord was giving you with John, and there was no one worthy to open the scroll or to read it, what would you have done? I asked myself this question. Let's get a few responses this morning. What would you have done? Go and look for someone. Okay. The angel said, there's no one in heaven, no one on earth, and no one under the earth. What are we going to do, Lord? Look for someone. What else? Ask the Lord for help? Yeah. This is what John's response was in verse 4. Then I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and to read it. The reason for that is the only one who is worthy is the one who paid the price that we just remembered. Thank you, Jenny, for leading us. Just reminded us again of the total price that had to be paid for each one of you and me. We are very expensive beings. Jesus paid it all for us. Jesus Christ will carry us. He will carry out God's final purposes on this earth to the very end. The first thing we notice here in verses 5 and 6 is that one of the elders addressing John has some reassuring words. So out of all this distress that everyone's facing, there's one elder sitting there in that group who said, listen to this, stop weeping. Verse 5, look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir of David's throne, has won the victory. In a month's time, we'll be thinking about the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the prophecy about Jesus coming, but here he is. He is the one who is worthy to open the scroll and to open its seven seals. John's description of the Lamb on the throne is very clear from verse 6. He says, then I saw a Lamb. After he heard this announcement from the elder in verse 5, he then saw and realized, yes, there is one who is worthy to open that scroll. Then I saw a Lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered. What a picture. But it was not standing between the throne. It was now standing between the throne and the four living beings and among the 24 elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which the sevenfold Spirit of God. If you were here last Sunday, you'd have seen the list of the sevenfold, what we talked about, the sevenfold Spirit. And he says it's sent out into every part of the earth. A horn is a symbol of power. If you looked at Jeremiah chapter 48 and verse 25, especially in the NIV, it's very clear. It says this, Moab's, that chapter is about the tribe of Moab and about Moab, and it says, Moab's horn is cut off. The power is gone. Her arm is broken, declares the Lord. I'm only giving you the tip of the iceberg there, but you go and read Jeremiah 48. You'll find it. He says, this is the message was given concerning Moab. This is what God of Almighty, of the mighty heaven's armies, the God of Israel says, Moab is cut off. The horn has been cut off. No more power. The animal with the big horns, will you go near it? No. There's power in the horns. Cut off the horns, you can go by. They may give you a good button with their head, but they can't hurt you. The second thing we notice in these two verses is that John's description of the Lamb in verse 6, which brings me to the conclusion. A horn is a symbol of power according to Daniel 7. And Daniel refers to, when you read the book of Revelation, read Daniel 2. Because Daniel gives you an insight into some of those things. And the reason why we can't understand Revelation is because we don't read the Old Testament. You read the Old, the New is in there. The Old is in the New revealed, and the New is in the Old concealed. Work both ways. Let me read Daniel chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 for you. And then I want to read a few more verses after that because it opened it up wonderfully to me, and I sure it will to you too. It says, Then in my vision, verse 7, Daniel 7, verse 7, then in my vision that night I saw a fourth beast, terrifying, dreadful, and very strong. It devoured and crushed its victims with huge iron teeth and trampled their remains beneath its feet. It was different from any of the other beasts, and it had 10 horns. Here we go. Where did we read that just now? If you're reading Revelation chapter 5 with me, you would have come across that. 10 horns. Verse 8. As I was looking at the horns, suddenly another small horn appeared. A little horn. Three of the first horns were torn out by the roots to make room for it, for the little horn. This little horn had eyes like human beings and a mouth that was boasting arrogantly. That's chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. But look as we go on. It says, this little horn had eyes like human eyes and a mouth that was boasting arrogantly. I watched as thrones were put in place, and the Ancient One sat down to judge, the Ancient One, God Eternal. His clothing was as white as snow, his hair like pure wool. He sat on a fiery throne with wheels of blazing fire, and a river of fire was pouring out, flowing from his presence. Millions of angels ministered to him, and many millions stood to attend him. And then the court began its session, and the books were opened. And you can keep reading. I'm not going to stop anymore because it talks about the horn again after that. But you see, that's a clear indication of what's going to happen. It's going to be a great celebration. Stop looking at the world around us and start looking up. That's why Jesus said, look up. Are you looking for the celebration or are you looking for all the gloom and doom around us? Don't worry. Next Sunday, the 27th, is a wonderful day, right? Oh, my dear. You were not listening to David. David said it's a special day for us. Actually, this horn is the horn of power that will be destroyed and removed completely when the all-powerful one takes control. Doesn't matter who has power in this world, that power will be taken away when Jesus comes. They'll all have to bow down to him. God's ability to see the entire earth is with him. And I'd like to be his friend, don't you reckon? Yes. At the same time, he can see on the other side of the world that you and I can't see. That's him. That's our Lord. Therefore, it indicates that his absolute sovereignty and power and control and authority of this little world. Charles Duke, the man who stood on the moon, we had the wonderful opportunity of meeting him when I was pastoring Sunbury Baptist Church. He came and shared there. We had no room for people. But he shared about his time on the moon. And he said, out of all the planets that he looked at from the moon, only the earth had some color in it. Isn't that wonderful? He said, it made me realize that's the world that my Lord created. Wonderful Christian man, Charles Duke. And he shared, when he went out there, he realized what a mighty God we have. What a mighty God we serve. And what the telescopes are showing us is only a fraction of what we ain't seen yet, boys and girls. We're looking forward to that party with the Lord one day. It will be worth it all, friends. Hang in there. Don't give up. Therefore, it says the slaughtered but living lamb has absolute power and absolute sovereignty of the entire earth. Why is this so? I've suggested a few reasons for you. Because sin, death, hell, and the devil were conquered by Jesus on the cross. Hallelujah. And as God's people seated here, we need to reaffirm that in the midst of all that we see around us. And the book of Revelation is telling us, look up, because the Lamb is seated on the throne and He is in control. Celebrate. I was going to say celebrate, not salivate. What am I going to do? Celebrate. He's on the throne. Secondly, because the sacrificial lambs that covered the sins of worshipers in the Old Testament pointed to the eternal Lamb of God. That was only symbolic, pointing to the Lamb of God. I said many times, I'll say it again, I don't want to be a priest in a temple sacrificing animals and seeing the innocent blood flow. I'm so glad I'm not a Jewish priest today. But I'm a priest of the heavenly King whose life was shed on the cross of Calvary for you and for me and anyone who will put their trust in Him. Hallelujah. You can't say it. It's in the Bible. You can say glory to God too. Thirdly, because on the cross, Jesus took on the sins of the entire world, the human race, past, present, and future. Amazing. Only He can do it. And He's my Lord. He's your Lord. He's our God that we love and worship and celebrate the Lamb on the throne. Fourthly, and I'll finish here. I'm not going to say finally for the fourth time. Because Jesus rose again. This is the victory. This is what I told the podiatrist. Show me anyone who died for the sins of the world, who said He was going to die for the sins of the world, and He died. But He rose again on the third day. Show me if there's anyone else in any other religion. No one can. Jesus rose again in victory over sin, over death, over hell, over Satan, and over the grave. Don't fear the grave. The grave is not our goal. What's your goal? Hallelujah. Two people said heaven. I hope the rest joined them. So that this scene of the end times was simply the wrapping up of the victory march that Jesus had won when He gave His life for all humanity. This is the scroll that's being opened when the victory march will take place of those redeemed on this earth and who have been waiting and looking forward to Him coming. So this coming week, folks, celebrate the Lamb on the throne. Don't look at what's happening around you. Okay? You'll be a happier person, I can assure you. Why am I so happy? Tell you the reason why. Jesus took my sins away. That's all. Heavenly Father, as we meditate on this passage, just these few verses, six verses in this chapter, I pray that this coming week You'll give us new revelations of Your glory. Something to look forward to of You seated on that throne. And You're the only one who can open that scroll. The scroll of the end of salvation's history. And You can break every seal that seals it. And Lord, it will be worth it all when we see You face to face and watch that scroll open. And every human being, past, present, and future, will stand before You and kneel before You, bow their knees, and confess that Jesus is the only one who is the Lord. And we'll sing redemption story. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Sorry, Jesus. Sorry to pray a little longer.
Do you like stand up?
Yes. Thank you.